The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Hi, Rolien, welcome back, and nice to have you giving us the update on what is happening in Israel. I see the first
issue
is Omicron.
To be back.
Omicron,
I must say,
away.
I miss you guys, even when I'm only off for a few days, a few much needed days of break, but good to be back. I've missed you all.
I'll spread the word around, to all and sundry. Rolien, what is Omicron doing in Israel? What does Israel want to do with travel bans?
Okay, so first of all, I know many of you, and I have discussed it before, are very disappointed that Israel does have travel bans in place at the moment, making it very, very difficult to come in, that Israel effectively is closed for non-Israeli citizens and residents. And we understand your frustrations, and please understand that it's not directed at any particular community. I know there was an article featured in the Jerusalem Post today, somebody from South Africa rebuking Israel, calling it a moral disgrace that we have these travel bans in place. And as of last night, we have added the United States, Canada, Germany, Italy, Switzerland, Hungary, Morocco, Portugal, Belgium, and Turkey to our red list as well. Now, our Foreign Minister, Yair Lapid, understandably, is fending off a lot of questions about these decisions for Israel to basically shut our borders and to put a lot of countries, not just those 10 countries, but a lot of countries and the United States for the first time ever on our red list. And he says, you know, it's not causing any diplomatic ructions. Countries understand where we are coming from, where our concerns are. Each country is responsible for taking care of its citizens. And I'm going to pose this question, and it might be controversial. We cannot open Israel up to one group of people at this time of the year and close it off to everybody else. You're welcome to read the Jerusalem Post, to see the controversial article for yourself. But this is where Israel is standing at the moment. And at the moment, the decision has been made to protect Israeli citizens, as difficult as it is. Last night, Prime Minister Bennett addressed the nation. He said, we are entering a fifth wave. He says, our priority now is to protect our children, to get as many vaccinated as possible. Israeli media today reporting that he might actually give a day's holiday to parents so that they can get their children vaccinated because of the length of time it takes for children to be fully covered by the vaccines. Yes, we can debate this. Is it a very rash decision? Is it controversial? There's, of course, arguments to support each side. But for the moment, this is the decision that the Prime Minister, along with the Health Ministry and the Coronavirus Cabinet, has decided to take. And if possible, anyone who can work from home has been encouraged to work from home. And we are trying to do everything we can in our power to mitigate the spread of Omicron. We know it's going to spread. At the moment, according to medical authorities, the majority of our cases that are still coming in are not Omicron-related. They are Delta-related. And we have to make decisions based on the recommendations of our health ministry.
Well, I think, Rolien, once you putting the United States on the list, it's not personal. It's as deemed to be a necessity.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you're looking at the numbers of infections in countries like the United States, there are quite staggering. And as you so correctly say, it is not personal. It is not a decision to keep families apart. Of course we understand the frustrations and the hurt. It's just as frustrating for me because I'd love to come to South Africa to see so many of you, to see my father who is the most important person. But unfortunately, you know, this is where we are sitting at the moment with this ghastly pandemic that I think we all just hoping will do us all a favor and leave.
Raleen, this extraordinary story about third graders at a school in Washington, D.C., being made to reenact the Holocaust because, quote, Jews ruined Christmas. I'm lost for words.
I'm at a loss for words as well, Sarah. You know, I had to read the headline this morning several times. I couldn't believe what I was reading, and that we're sitting here less than 100 years after the Holocaust, assuming that people are educated and to see something as appalling and as painful as this. So let's break it down. A staff member at a Washington, D.C. school apparently has been suspended after forcing third grade children. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Third grade to me is what? 8-year-old, 9-year-olds? To reenact scenes from the Holocaust, including getting them to pretend to dig mass graves. I mean, this is just, it's unbelievable. Shoot victims, pretend they were in gas chambers and in cattle cars for transport. One Jewish child was given the role, and children were given very specific roles in this horrendous reenactment, or whatever they want to call it. A Jewish child was forced to have the role of Adolf Hitler and then pretend to commit suicide. Now, of course, these children were traumatized beyond belief. One of the parents wrote to the school authorities saying there was a lot of crying and distress from the children, who were told by the staffer, whose motives we still are unclear about, not to tell anybody. They went to tell their homeroom teacher. I have no idea what a homeroom teacher is, but thank goodness they told their homeroom teacher what they were basically made to do. And they were told that Jews had the Holocaust because the Germans were angry with them because they ruined Christmas. I mean, this is just, it's other level repugnant.
No, it's, I mean, there's been so much going on in American schools, including, you know, issues of around critical race theory. This shows that the teacher obviously had a fair amount of knowledge of the Holocaust, but had a completely warped idea of how she should regard it. I would hope that she'd be subject to dismissal, frankly.
Well, this is what we're waiting to see. He has been reported to the school authorities, who are investigating, and the Anti-Defamation League have stepped in, and they've said that, you know, this is so profoundly offensive, and they've offered to work with school authorities and the students and their families to offer ways of educating them, but also helping them to heal. These children were extremely traumatized from this. I mean, could you imagine going to school as an 8 or 9 year old child and being forced to do this and then being told you can't tell anybody? It's gross child abuse. But as you say, you know, over the last year, we have seen horrendous examples of anti-Semitism at schools, critical race theory in university, which we now see manifesting in these kinds of gross acts against Jews around both tertiary and primary education and high school education in the United States, and spreading around the world at an absolute frightening rate of knots.
The fact that he or she said don't tell anyone suggests quite a lot. Raleen, the murder of Yehuda Dimentman captured. Troops came under fire as they raised home. Why are we seeing this uptick in terror acts?
Well, we have seen an uptick in terror over the last couple of months. It's nearly the 30 days since we marked the very, very painful murder of MEK, South African murdered by a Hamas-affiliated terrorist in Jerusalem over the weekend, the early hours of Friday morning. A car driving outside of Chomesh in the West Bank came under fire by what we now know as Palestinian Islamic Jihad terrorists, wounding two and killing 25-year-old father of one, Yehuda Dimentman. His murderers have been captured after a manhunt that was underway about 2 days. The IDF, the border police, Shin Bet, all working together to catch his killers. And as many of you know, the policy when catching terrorists is to raise the homes of the terrorists and their families. Mm. And IDF were dispatched earlier today to do that, and they came under fire. Now, of course, we can debate the merits or not of this as a punishment, but one thing we do know is that these terrorists will continue to receive monthly salaries from the Palestinian Authority under the Pay for Slay scheme. And if they are killed in the act of terror, their families will receive a monthly salary.
Gosh, what a way to earn a living. And then Carmel storm lashes Israel. Extreme weather event?
We are having extreme weather. I mean, if you had to see, you know, thank goodness radio is not visual because I'm bunkered down. We are having quite a storm hit Israel. I was driving around Modi'in earlier this morning and saw ambulance and police at various points across the city. We got a warning from our municipality to say, you know, we are bracing for the inclement weather. We do have our emergency services on standby. Parts of the country have come under flooding, horrendous winds, rain, hailstorms, very, very cold. So guys, if you were missing Israel, today is probably the day you don't want to be in Israel. It is freezing cold. Having a tremendous, tremendous hail and basically having to stay safe and warm inside.
Well, it at least is worse than a rather cloudy summer in Johannesburg, and maybe it'll make us appreciate the fact that it's not freezing cold. Rolien, thank you so much for your input this afternoon. We'll speak to you again.
We'll see you same time tomorrow.
Great.